We come in our scripture reading to the final chapter of the book of Numbers, Numbers chapter 36. You'll find it in your pew Bible on page 183. That's an interesting situation. Some leaders from the tribe of Manasseh approach Moses because they have a concern about when they get to the promised land. There will be the distribution of the land, and there's a man who's named here who has no sons. All his children are daughters, and the concern is that when they inherit the land, they are likely to marry men, and if those men are from other tribes, then that family apportionment of the tribe of Manasseh would end up, and after the Jubilee came, permanently in the land of another tribe. And so Moses is going to adjudicate that issue. The arrangement he comes to is, well, they're free to marry, but they can only marry men within their own tribe, so that won't happen. Now, a couple of things here I think are pretty interesting. One is, you see here the wonderful principle that I know you love called good and necessary consequences. What does that mean? This is the genius of Reform hermeneutics. That is not only the express statements of Scripture that have the authority of the Word of God, but the necessary inferences and implication. Moses is going to give an answer as the Word of the Lord, and you will scour your Bibles and try to find a quote, and you won't find it. He is reasoning in a necessary way from the Scriptures. Now, the great example of this is the doctrine of the Trinity. And some Jehovah's Witness will come to you and say, or some other person, you know, the Trinity, aha, is not taught in the Bible. And you can pull out your good and necessary consequences and say, by necessary inference it is. One God, three persons, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, come with me to Matthew 4. And you can show them how it's a necessary truth taught by what the Scripture says. That's an important principle for the life of the church and the Christian life as a whole. It's interesting as well here that you see one of the many passages in the Old Testament that would later have a bearing on civil governments, constitutions like the Constitution of the United States. There's graded levels of government and there's states' rights, as it were. You wouldn't want to take it too far from this passage, but there's a respect of the higher government to the right implications of the lower government. That's a biblical way of thinking. We're blessed if we keep it. You have here the restriction of liberties. These poor girls, they have a right to marry any Israelite, but for issues of prudence, for the well-being of the greater good, a restriction is placed upon them, and they seem, we can infer that they cheerfully obeyed it. We don't really know, but your liberties might be restrained sometimes because of the good will of other people and the good of the gospel and of the church. Now, you might be thinking, so this is how the great book of Numbers ends, with a regulatory question about marriage and land. I love it, because what you got here is you have the Israelites on the other side of the Jordan, and what are they thinking about? What are they talking about? What are they preoccupied about? Not life in the wilderness, not the affairs of Moab. They're thinking about the promised land into which they have not yet come. When they cross the river, what will it be like? And they're thinking it through. Would that we were the same way about our destination, the promised land of heaven and the eternal glory. It'd be great if we had more converse about how can we best glorify God. How do you think we'll be living when we've entered into the fullness of our inheritance? Well, with these things in mind, please give ear to the reading of God's holy, inerrant, and life-giving word, Numbers chapter 36. The heads of the fathers' houses of the clan of the people of Gilead, the son of Machir, the son of Manasseh, from the clans of the people of Joseph, came near and spoke before Moses and before the chief, the heads of the fathers' houses of the people of Israel. They said, "The Lord commanded my Lord to give the land for inheritance by lot to the people of Israel. And my Lord was commanded by the Lord to give the inheritance of Zelophehad, our brother, to his daughters. But if they are married to any of the sons of other tribes of the people of Israel, then their inheritance will be taken from the inheritance of our fathers and added to the inheritance of the tribe into which they marry. So it will be taken away from the lot of our inheritance. And when the Jubilee of the people of Israel comes, then their inheritance will be added to the inheritance of the tribe into which they marry, and their inheritance will be taken from the inheritance of the tribe of our fathers." And Moses commanded the people of Israel according to the word of the Lord, saying, "The tribe of the people of Joseph is right. This is what the Lord commands concerning the daughters of Zelophehad. Let them marry whom they think best, only they shall marry within the clan of the tribe of their father. The inheritance of the people of Israel shall not be transferred from one tribe to another, for every one of the people of Israel shall hold on to the inheritance of the tribe of his fathers. And every daughter who possesses an inheritance in any tribe of the people of Israel shall be wife to one of the clan of the tribe of her father, so that every one of the people of Israel may possess the inheritance of his fathers. So no inheritance shall be transferred from one tribe to another, for each of the tribes of the people of Israel shall hold on to its own inheritance. The daughters of Zelophehad did as the Lord commanded Moses. For Mahlal, Tirzah, Hoglah, Milcah, and Noah, the daughters of Zelophehad, were married to sons of their father's brothers. They were married into the clans of the people of Manasseh, the son of Joseph, and their inheritance remained in the tribe of their father's clan. These are the commandments and the rules that the Lord commanded through Moses to the people of Israel in the plains of Moab by the Jordan at Jericho. The grass withers and the flower falls, but the word of our God abides forever. Amen.